to be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Our sermon text for this morning is John 3:16, as we'll talk about familiar words. They're the words that served as our theme for this week of VBS. They go like this. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Here ends our text. So how many of you have played the game Mad Libs before? It's a fun game to pass the time. If you've never played it, I encourage you to give it a try. It's got us through many a trip in the car. It's a fun game. It gives people a chance just to be silly and to laugh at things. If you've never played it, this is how it goes. Basically, you have one person with a book, and they have a story, and in the story, there's blanks. And underneath each of those blanks is a description of the type of word that should be in there, whether it's a noun, a verb, an adjective, an adverb. And so the person reading the story with the blanks asks the other people around them to just give them random words that fit those categories, and they fill in the blanks. For example, a person might fill in the blank with a verb when they're asked for and say tumbled. And then the person might ask for a noun and say pickle. And then the person reads back the sentence and says, the children tumbled at the pickle. Now that doesn't make much sense, does it? And that's kind of the point of Mad Libs. The point is, in fact, to try to make it as silly as you can be, to try to make it as ridiculous as it can be, to try to make it as most not sense as it can be. And so you can probably imagine that if you did a whole story like that and just took random words from the people with you, you'd end up with a story that at best was confusing and that at most didn't really make any sense at all, even if it was funny. But what does Mad Libs, what does filling in the blank have to do with God's word and the verse that I read for our sermon text? Well, hold on a minute to that thought of confusing, that thought of having unexpected results and unexpected words in a sentence. Our text for consideration this morning, as I said, is a familiar verse, John 3:16. It's probably the first verse you memorized as a child. In fact, you probably would maybe even insult someone and feel awkward yourself if you asked someone, do you know John 3:16? And they said they were a Christian but weren't able to say it with you. Especially if you started it with them and then they said, oh yeah, I just wasn't sure where that came from. It's just one of those verses. It's one of those verses we learn and take to heart from little on. It's often called the gospel in a nutshell. It's because it summarizes the good news. That's what gospel is. The good news that Jesus came and died for us. The good news that we celebrated all this week in our VBS of Christ's miraculous mission here on earth. It's an important verse. If you haven't memorized it yet, or if I made you feel awkward by saying, well, I don't have that memorized, Pastor, it's okay. But I encourage you to memorize it, put it into your heart, learn it. Of course, the problem, though, with putting something into our memory is that sometimes we put it into our memory and it stays there, but it stays there without any meaning. It stays there and we can pull it out on demand and rattle it off and recite it well enough. But often our sinful nature takes those verses, takes those things that we've learned about God by memory and empties them of their meaning. We can still say the words, but we're not really thinking about them or what they mean. For example, think about how often you recite the Lord's Prayer by memory. How often you rattle off that part in the middle where it says, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Without stopping to think what you just said. Without stopping to realize you ask God to use as his guide for forgiveness the way that you forgive other people. Without stopping to realize that you're asking God to examine how you forgive other people, to look and see, are you gracious and kind and loving as God is when he forgives us? And that same thing can happen with these words from John 3:16. They get so familiar, we memorize them, that we take away all the meaning, all the amazingness that's inside of them. And so this morning, as we look at these words, we're going to look at them kind of in a Mad Lib kind of way, in a fill-in-the-blank kind of way, by focusing on the three verbs in our text. If you boil down the first clause, for example, of John 3:16, it has all the markings of a good Mad Lib. It has a noun, a verb, and an object. God so loved the world. Think about that verb for a minute. It's the verb loved. If you were doing a Mad Libs, is that the verb that you would expect to find there as you read the story of how God deals with the world? Maybe you think, well, of course, God loves the world. God loves me. I'm here in church after all. That's the perfect verb. That's not funny at all. But if you don't see why that's surprising or unexpected, just remember with me for a minute about our relationship that we have with God. How it all started, as I mentioned in our first lesson we did in VBS, back in Genesis chapter 1, where God created everything in the world simply by his voice. He created the sky and the land. He created plants and vegetation. He created the sun, moon, and stars. He created birds and fish and animals. He created you and me. It's an amazing creation that our God made. And after he made everything, after the end of each day, Scripture tells us that God looked on what he made and it was good. And at the end it says that everything God made was very good. And remember that when God talks about things being good, that means they're perfect. So that's God's standard. That God says either something is good and is perfect, or it's not good and not perfect. But we know that perfectness changed, didn't it? In Genesis chapter 3, Adam and Eve sinned. They decided they'd rather choose good and evil for themselves than have God decide it for them. They listened to that tempter's voice. And so they brought sin and death to themselves, but also to everyone else. And that's the reality ever since, that ever since Adam and Eve, sin infected the world. It infected their children, their children's children, their children's children, children, all the way down to you and to me. And in fact, not only has sin infected us in a passive kind of way, but in an active kind of way. The world actively rebels against God and is in open rebellion. In John chapter 1, the gospel writer wrote, Jesus was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. We can think perhaps of an aged parent who's suffering from Alzheimer's, who no longer recognizes you or anyone. How terrible that is, how deeply that affects someone. I can speak from firsthand that that's a hard thing to deal with. And yet, it's an even harder thing. It affects us even more deeply that Jesus isn't recognized by the world. And then not only did the world fail to recognize him when he came into the world, but again, actively rebels, and even to this day, actively rebels against its creator. That's the world in relationship to God. That's why, again, if you gave that verb in the Mad Libs game and said, God loved the world, you would think that's unexpected. Think about our own way that we deal with people who we don't have the best type of relationship with. And what kind of word, what kind of Mad Lib would we fill in the blank there with? Probably something like this. We'd say, well, God abandoned the world. God condemned the world. God judged the world. God said, I've had enough with the world. Those kind of things would make sense. But God loving the world? Not so much. And each of us know that we're a part of the world. Even though we're here in church, we're followers of Christ, we're also sinful. None of us can deny that we haven't at times trusted money or our job or family over himself. You can't deny that you fail to always use God's name to praise him and give glory to him. You can't deny that you've always put his word first and never despised it. You can't deny that you've always obeyed authority, whether in the school, in the government, or at home. You can't deny that you've never hated someone or had a bad thought against someone who did something to you. These and more are your sins. These and more are my active sins. And so when I think about the word that fills in the blank in that Mad Lib, I realize that's not the word I deserve. It's not the word you deserve. It doesn't make sense. And yet that's the verb that God filled in the blank with. God so loved the world. The story that God gives us in his word, the story that we shared this week at VBS, in a way, is a story that doesn't make sense to us. It's a story about God's love, about the miraculous mission, as the children sang in that catchy tune that if you hear it 5 days, gets stuck in your head. The miraculous mission to save you and me. It's about God's grace. Grace isn't about what someone deserves. Grace is about simply what God gives. Grace is God simply saying, I love you, knowing what you are, knowing what you have done, and knowing what you will do. My grace is there for you. Grace isn't about what you do. That's why I said it doesn't matter that you're here, although it does matter, and I'm glad you're here. But in one respect, right, it doesn't matter that you're here in church and doing the right thing. That's not what gets you God's grace. We can't do anything to get God's grace. Paul wrote in Ephesians those familiar words, for it is by grace that you've been saved through faith. It's not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. God's grace runs on love. And so that first part of John 3:16, God so loved the world, isn't a mad lib gone wrong. It's the exact word, the exact verb that Jesus wanted to put there, that he put there with his life, that he put there with his death on the cross for you and for me. It really is an amazing truth. It summarizes God's word, summarizes that promise that he gave from the beginning. Remember back to the garden after Adam and Eve sinned? That's what God did. He didn't come down in judgment and fire and brimstone. He came down looking for them, came down asking, where are you? Ready to forgive them. And he promised them the Savior. He promised them that seed. The same seed we heard about in our second lesson, our first lesson that God promised to Abraham, that would come from him and be a blessing to every people. That seed continued to be promised throughout the Old Testament, through David, until Jesus was finally born. Again, all of that story is wrapped up in that simple phrase, for God so loved the world. It's not how we treat people, is it? But it's how God treats us. He loves us. And his love is different from the world's in another respect, that God's love isn't a feeling kind of flighty, here one day, gone the next kind of love. It's not a love that says, well, I love you, but just don't do that again, please. No, God's love is always there. And God's love isn't a feeling, but it's an action. And we see that action in the second clause, the second part of the fill in the blank. It says, God so loved the world that he gave his only son. Now again, maybe that verb doesn't surprise you, that he gave his only son. But think about other ways you could fill that in. You could say, the Father showed his son to the world. That's not what he did. Or the Father sent his son into the world. That's not quite capturing all of the essence either, is it? What did God do? He gave his son to the world. He gave his son into death, gave his son for you and for me, knowing what it would cost him, knowing what it would cost his son. God kept that promise that he gave to Adam and Eve, to Abraham, and gave his son just as he promised. Paul tells us in Romans chapter 8 that Christ Jesus is the one who died more than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, and who indeed is interceding for us. All that too is summed up in that simple phrase, God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. And then there's the last Mad Lib verb that I want to look at for a few minutes. It's the third clause. Again, think of how that ends, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. You see the surprising word? It's believes. Why is that surprising? Well, again, humanly speaking, we would think it should be filled in with something like whoever does enough or whoever follows all the right rules or whoever loves God enough in return. And yet God fills in that blank. He mad libs it by saying whoever believes in him. It's a reminder that we don't earn that love like we said when it comes to God's grace. That it's about faith. And even that faith isn't something that we do. Something the Holy Spirit places inside of us and gives to us and strengthens us. I could talk all morning about faith, but I won't. But faith is an amazing thing, isn't it? And yet hard to describe. It's hard to describe how faith is something, in a sense, that we do, that we believe, that we take that knowledge and we put it into our hearts. But at the same time, God says faith is not something you do. Faith is something I give you. One commentator described it as being an open bag, that faith is something God hands us as a giant open bag and says, here, here's faith. And then he fills that bag of faith. He fills it with forgiveness, with salvation, and all those gifts that he gives us. That was why we had VBS this last week, so that we could fill that bag of faith for all of those children. Hopefully that's why you're here this morning, not just to hear a good sermon, or to stay and have some good food after, although I hope both happen. But you're here this morning to have your bag of faith filled. That's why we come here. We come here so that we can hear the absolution, so that we can hear your sins are forgiven and have our faith filled. We come here so that we can hear our service start in the name of the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and be reminded of our baptism and the God that we serve. We come here so that we can come up to the Lord's table and partake of his body and blood and have that bag of faith that he gives us filled with forgiveness, life, and salvation. Again, that's the amazing thing about faith, that God takes that miraculous mission that he accomplished in Christ and gives it to us. Doesn't make us earn it. Doesn't make us take a test. But sends his Holy Spirit to create that faith inside of us. That means that there's no sin so great that will keep us away from God. Or there's no sin so small that maybe that got overlooked. No, Jesus, in his miraculous mission to save the world, took care of all sin, great and small. May you continue to come to church and have that bag of faith filled and strengthened each and every week. May you do it in your home as well. Don't wait just once a week to come here, but continue to read that word at home. It's my prayer that those children who are here in VBS this week continue to experience God's word at home. They continue to hear from their parents, not just an occasional prayer at supper time or prayer at the end of the day. They continue, though, to hear that word. It's my prayer that when we have Sunday school in a few weeks, they come back to hear that word and be strengthened in their faith and have that bag filled. Really is an amazing verse, isn't it? John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. If you permit me one more Mad Lib, how about we fill it in like this? For God so loved you that he gave his only Son for you, that you who believe in him should not perish, but have eternal life. That's not really a Mad Lib at all, is it? It's the truth. Hold on to that truth, dear friends. Amen. Please rise. We'll continue our worship as found in our worship folder with our response to the sermon, hymn 278. Again, if you flip to the back of the bulletin, it's printed there for you.